Shred them all, shred all these for you. Let me shred all that in the box.
So, don't worry, you'll get there. You'll be unique yet.
I want to be unique, though.
I just want to be me.
Savvy.
There's loads of the plate board.
Teasing Savio up.
He's had two packets of biscuits through
it. Is he whiffing them down?
Yes.
Has he taken them all? Do we need some more?
Actually, it's some eyeballs.
There's plenty left. That was
anyone. Oh, okay. All right.
Savio, have you seen the true tenants yet on the iPhone?
Yeah.
Haven't you?
This thinking's a bit hard work. This thinking's a bit hard work.
I'm going to be investing in one of those, aren't you?
I was going to show you. This is just the unique thing I was saying.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Look at
this. This is for clients. This one going around. You know when I do my transfer servicing now with TP, they've got an app for the iPhone and for these sort of things. So you can see, the client can actually log in and see how much money they're worth.
Who produces this?
This is True Potential.
Oh, yes.
And it works on the back of all the fact finds and all the documents.
Right.
Martin made a good point that obviously this will be obsolete going forward because everyone will have something like this. But at the moment, even the next 18 months, is a driver for fees and for anything you want in terms of obsolete. If I can remember my log on. Right, so this is the IFA bit, but then if I log on just to my own account. It does. They can log onto your phone, and I'm just saying that the great thing is it puts you at their forefront of their mind.
Yeah.
Now, they'll be sitting on the train with their iPhone, you know, with people playing around with it.
Cool.
Oh, wanting to see how much I'm worth today. Oh, that's Steve stuff, isn't it, sort of thing. So let me just put in my detail. Yeah, I know. I've had that. I've had a client say, I've lost 3,000 today, and I sent an email back to him and said, a text message and said, yeah, you've done well, the market's down double that in terms of percentage. So this is effectively what each client gets. This is obviously
that's brilliant.
Hello, my name's this, and they can log on with this phone and get the same. And they can just drill down to their portfolio, it's got all their assets, they update daily. They can drill down to what their investments are.
It's good software, isn't it?
And effectively, it's just, you know, it's there.
So this is a part of your IP?
Yeah, so this is what I will say. This is when I go see my new clients now, transfer over to Jennings Wealth Management, I say that this is what I've bought, this is what I provide, and this is what you pay your service for this. And the great thing is, things like documents, instead of sending out reason why letters and that, all I do is upload the PDF, they've got it in their document library, they can view it, and it's all
just
there.
Just send them an email, say so.
And also, the secure emails, FSA are saying now, obviously, you've got to be the secure encryption email. So what I do is secure messages, I put a message in here, upload their documents, it sends a message to their normal email address, please log on to your site, because you can get this as a website, and all their documents are there. And it just makes things so much smoother, they have to print stuff out. And even your risk profile, I sit down with a client here, and I'll go through their risk profile and it's safer. You know, it's just, you know, like you say, a USP. If ever people are using True Potential as their back office, then they'll have this, but they may not use it the same. So, you know.
Brilliant. That's part of your IP. It's the IP that powers the business.
Yeah.
So eventually when you build the structure around you of individuals and systems and that's part of it,
yeah.
Then whether you're there or not, the IP is still there. That's the beauty about the IP.
You only need someone to run it behind, and also it stops client meetings. You don't have to have as many because they're like, oh, I don't need to see you, Steve. I see it all every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it keeps going down, so why don't
you? Yeah, and this will soon sidetrack people who are charging fees to deliver reports of valuations, all that.
Yep.
They're going to be able to get all that stuff online.
Indeed. But,
yeah. So very soon that will marginalise a lot of your competitors. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that would prefer their contact details not to be available to the rest of the delegates? Come for that. Just that people keep saying, I'd love to keep in contact with, and I just want to know, because she was saying this and I wanted to talk to her. So let me just give that. Hillary, could you just hand out some of those? Thank you. Thank you very much. Could you hand out something?
Yep.
Could you? Thank you. If my team have got the details wrong, please let me know. You might want to check your details so you'll make sure we've got them correct.
Yes. Technically, I'm Dutchy Wealth Management Limited.
Dutchy
Limited is actually the holding company for Prince of Wales.
Okay. So which one would you rather they use?
If it's got space, Dutchy Wealth Management Limited.
Okay.
I know that the website is Dutchy.
Gotcha.
LTD, but actually right. The company is Dutchy Wealth Management Limited.
Got it. Okay.
Really
okay, dokie. Thank you, Simon. Good. Tony, could you just hand out these also to the team? Alright, let's get started. We're winding down now. Going to answer Hillary's question and do some more teamwork and we'll wind down. Okay, who we've got missing? Tony. Oh, Tony's here. Craig's needed to dash off. Who's missing on your table, Tim?
You've got a biscuit man behind. Biscuit man.
Who was here a second ago?
The Minerva.
Craig's gone.
Yes, Craig's needed to go home. Girl needs him. Who have got sitting there? Who's there? I can't remember. Good. I've also given you the details of the Northern team and the Northern delegates for this week. So some of those are guests, some of those are the Northern team. And you've never spoken to each other, most of you haven't spoken to each other, some of you have. I would recommend, so the Northern team that's currently attending, we've actually given them out, Tony's been very good. If you just want to take a pen, people on the Northern team currently that are attending Thursday, some that are not, are Alistair, Martin, Simon, Stuart, Eric, Andrew, Graham, Fred, Gary, Nigel and Paul. So if you want to, don't call, for example, Sarah Elson saying, "Oh, I hear you're an advisor gym member," because she's not. So get to know each other, contact each other, ask questions of each other in a circle team. If someone's been there for 3 years or 2 years, you might want to talk to them. They've been through this stuff and are just romping ahead and have things to share with you. And I found that the team members are very generous. Very generous indeed. I know one or two of you have spoken to each other, shared time together. Up in the north, we've had people travel down from Edinburgh to Manchester to just to visit each other. Spend a whole day together. I'd recommend that. Don't isolate yourself. This business can get so isolated. Tony, how many people do you have in your business?
We have two advisors.
Yeah.
And we should have a back office team of three, with two at the moment. I'm currently recruiting a replacement partner.
These micro businesses of ours are very isolated, and you know, you think you know what's going on out there, and it may just be what you think. There may be other things going on. If you just spent time with each other, you'd realise, blimey, he or she thinks differently to me, and maybe I could use some of that. We just see it differently. All right, let's try and answer Hillary's far too intelligent question. We're now on page 27. Let's spend some time on this one and some team time. There is one interesting page, which is page 24. So we go back to 24, intellectual property. I find the intellectual property question really quite hard to work with. So who can tell me what is McDonald's product on page 24? What's their product?
Dead meat.
In the shape of
Big Mac,
hamburgers, Big Mac. But so jot that. I know this is really simplistic, but just get used to the mental process. Jot it down. Okay, Big Mac, hamburgers, and fries. Because you always ask, do you want fries with that? So what's their intellectual property?
Speed.
Okay, let's just jot this down. So the
value consistency.
What do you mean by that?
Consistency. You don't get it. I mean, it always tastes the same wherever you go, the same one.
Oh, consistency.
Yeah.
Okay, consistency. Yeah. Anybody ever watched that lovely little film, Memphis Belle? Ever watched that film? It's a fabulous little film about World War II pilots. Who actually got home after their 20th mission or something like that. It's a great film, and in there, the pilots say, I'm thinking about this business where we're going to deliver hamburgers, but they taste the same wherever you go. Someone says, well that's seriously boring. Who'd want a hamburger that tastes the same wherever you go? Okay, speed, consistency. What else is their intellectual property? What's their biggest intellectual property?
Right, the logo.
Yeah, I think the logo is.
The logo?
In terms of, it is advertising, so you identify them.
Okay. What else is their intellectual property?
Years ago, it was price. It was the value of a burger in a dollar terms.
Right.
So you would pay a pound for a burger, you'd pay a dollar for it.
Okay. Now what is it? Where do they make their real money?
Supersizing. No.
Meals.
Mm-hmm. Cross-selling, I would say. Drinks and fries.
McDonald's are in the business, their intellectual property, over and above the product. That's the product. The key intellectual property of McDonald's business is franchising. That's what they're in business to do. Hamburger is just stuff that they move. And they move it brilliantly and consistently, like a machine. And Ray Kroc was passionate about the consistency and the quality of the hamburger. That's what was his passion. but eventually worked out that once you got the model correct and the product looked good and tasted okay and was consistent and was passionately perfect, the real money came not from the product, it came from the franchise. That's the business that McDonald's are in. And McDonald's are in the franchise business, they're not in the burger business. Okay, that's their intellectual property. Do you get it? The other business that they're into is property. Okay? They have a huge estate portfolio. But they're in the business of franchising with a brilliant little product that works like a machine and spotty teenagers that could destroy any business on the planet somehow run this business. Amazing. Franchising. Can you see the difference? Sorry.
Are we saying speed, consistency, logo is product, not IP?
Well, it's part of the product intellectual property, but the real key core part of the business that's their real intellectual property that they're brilliant at, absolutely brilliant, and which they structured before all the other franchises that we now hold as norm ever thought of being, ever came into existence, long before they ever came into existence, McDonald's was there first with this franchise concept. And almost every other franchise on the planet that you know about today followed that concept. Everyone, Costa, don't care who it is, they all follow the concept. McDonald's are franchise business with a brilliant, consistent product that you may hate to eat as I do, but nevertheless, it's the consistent product. Can't stand the stuff, but there you go.
You ever read a book called Fast Food Nation?
No, but I've heard about
it. Because you hate it, it's good. You never go near one.
Yeah. Can you see the difference? Now, what that means is, whatever the product, it really doesn't matter anymore, as long as the product is a decent product and the public like it. Because the core of the business is the franchise operation. So they can shove any product down the core. Does that make sense? So no matter whether it's chicken or... it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant now. As long as it sells, the business is about franchising. So the question is, I wonder what your business is really all about. Because I don't think it's got anything to do with pensions and insurance investment. That's just the product. That's not the intellectual property that you're really all about. And it's not about you either, because then it's you dependent, it's not independent of anything. Okay, here's another question about your intellectual property. You ready? This is a really unkind one. You ready? I now want you to take away from the industry all commission of any type from any product. It doesn't exist anymore. No trail, no initial, no indemnity, nothing. Now tell me, I'll give you 60 seconds to work out the annual revenue of your business. Go. There is no commission, it does not exist. You're not allowed to take anything from a product provider through the product. They're not allowed to give you anything. Now tell me the annual revenue value of your business. 60 seconds. Okay.
And we're allowed to restructure it, so it's where what we think we can make it in short order.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if it takes you 2 years to restructure it, tell me the value and revenue of your business. What's it now? Tell me what it will be now, and tell me what it will be in 2 years' time. What's the revenue value of your business now? With no commission from any product provider whatsoever. None. Don't care what you call it, can't have it. This will drive you to work out, finally, once and for all, what your intellectual property really is. And it can't be about pensions and insurance. 60 seconds. It is a really hard question at this time of the day, but it will drive home intellectual property. Who dares first? Go on, David.
If only fees that I'm collecting now, probably 20,000.
If I could restructure Trail, it would probably be about 130.
Okay. When you say restructure Trail, what exactly does that mean?
Well, I've got fee agreements in place to take 0.5%, but I do take them via the product.
Okay.
But clients sign those agreements, and because they're not physically paying it, they may not. There's not a close relationship. The fees I was talking about are fees where we physically receive them by cheque.
Yes.
So that's a guarantee. but we have worked on a long way down the fee route. And I'm undercharging. I just haven't decided how and how far up the scale I'm going to go.
Sure. So today's revenue would be how much per annum?
What, from all sources?
Yep, no commission, nothing, no trail.
Not as we are now.
Today?
I suppose easily restructured with core clients, that's where we drop down to 100.
Okay, so if there were no commission from any product, trail, nothing, in the next year you collect 100k?
If you allow me to change what's coming in from a product,
yeah.
I mean, I would guess there'd be a few clients who might say, well, we've lost contact with them. I'm figuring in that reduction.
Okay.
But the physical fees is as low as 20,000.
Physical fees at the moment, 20?
Actually, by cheque.
Yeah. So you'd have to stop the product commission being received and ask them to pay you direct. Is that how?
No, that's the money I already get by cheque.
Right. My question is, because I'm still not quite clear what you're saying, my question is, maybe because I'm thick, but my question is, there is no trail commission, how are you going
to... My question back is, am I allowed to restructure that? I'm actually physically receiving this trail.
Yes.
But we have the agreement in place.
Yes.
So it's an offset, I suppose. Are you allowing me to bring that back in or not?
From where? Where does it...
By the client paying me directly.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they'll forget the product and pay you direct, it'll be about 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other examples? Thank you. I get it. I'm slow. Sorry, Dave, but I get there. Get there in the end. Okay. From this table here. No commission of any sort, no trail, nothing.
Yeah,
15,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicholas, you're fairly way along the fee path.
Well, I am, but a lot of it is offset.
Yeah.
So if you take away all commission, my retainer income is 4,900.
Yeah.
And that assumes I'm not doing any new work.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm in a similar position, as if about £5,000 just for fees, and then the rest is effectively taken from product as a fee.
Yeah.
But if that's gone, then...
So, part of what I'm trying to do through the advisor gym in this mantra of the next generation IFA is to help you make your own decisions about how you're going about doing it and to help you get there with coaching and programs and projects and what have you. But to ask yourself the question consistently, what exactly is it I'm marketing and selling? What exactly is my intellectual property? Point number two, am I genuinely independent of anybody and every product? If there were no commission from product providers, they did not provide that facility, am I now an independent revenue creating business? Yes or no? It's really simple. I get no commission. My commission is zero. I have to be paid by fees. If I can do it, then you guys are brighter than I am. You can too. I mean, most of you are brighter. I know most of you personally. And you're really, really bright. So my challenge to you is, this is what I mean by let's stop being financial advisors and let's turn into business leaders and entrepreneurs of small, brilliant businesses within which financial planning is done. And my suggestion, as maverick as Paul Armson is, look guys, if we're receiving revenue from product providers, we are not independent. We are dependent upon that revenue stream from the product. So let's talk the real language here between us. How do we turn our businesses into a business which is completely product provider independent? How do we do that? Because you desire to do that, which is why you started doing what you're doing. That's the road you're on. How do we really do it? And one of the answers is learn to build a business, not a practice. Learn to become an entrepreneur, not a financial planner. learn where your real intellectual property is that people really want to buy, and charge effectively for it, charge properly for it, because you're worth it. In my view, every financial advisor in this room, knowing what you've been through to get where you are, and the stuff that you know, and the way you'd work with people and change their lives, that to me has got to be a £250,000 per advisor business. Absolutely, without question. We work for Gerard, you were not allowed to keep a position at Gerard. You were removed from the team if you could not create non-indemnity, non-initial commission revenue of 200k. You simply did not exist. You were out. And that was 8 years ago. And I wasn't, you know, I was the weight on the team. I was the worst performer ever. And I'm not that bright. And you're brighter than I am. The only challenge is, someone taught me how to run a business, Chris Woodhams. I was so lucky. And that's what I'm trying to pass on to you. It really is all about pay it forward. Craig here, I'll now talk about him behind his back. When I met Craig, this kid is a brilliant salesman. Okay, I won't tell you how much he turns over as a one-man band with three support staff, but it's three times the industry average. He's really good. He's so charming and persuasive, and clients just love him to pieces. And he's also technically very good. I think he's CFP, double CFP. So he's nobody's fault. He said something to me the other day. We spent a whole day, and very private, a lot of it quite sacred to Craig. But one of the things he said to me was, just not bothered about the money anymore. It's not about being the top, anything. I said, well, what is it about, Craig? He said, the two things I love to do. And then he got quite emotional. He said, I love it, and I've never heard him say this before, been working with him for a while, I love it when the lights go on in their eyes. He said, I love it. I get out of bed for that. And number two, he said, I used to come to these workshops and I used to get really angry with you. Why? He said, because I wanted you to teach me, I wanted the rest to shut up. And I didn't want to take part in the team exercises. That was, I wanted you to teach me, that's what I'm paying you for. I said, well, what's different now? He said, I think I'm a good teacher. I love coaching. I love sitting with the team and coaching them to be better. I love it. He said, I can get up in the morning for that. That's what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? That's what I'm trying to create here. I want to back off this thing and let you go and do it. And you teach the industry. Because that's what he wants to do. And a call from Lee Dickinson. He said, is there any chance me coming along and working with you so that I can go and teach your stuff elsewhere? Brilliant. I can go home then. And you can do it better than I can. Yeah? Let's answer this question. Poor Hillary's been waiting forever. Turn to page 27. Okay, as a team, I want you to explain that to Hillary and your colleagues. Okay, page 27, and then we'll move to page 28. 27 first, I want you to work as a team and explain that to each other. And you have to answer Hillary's question. Why is moving towards the product level perceived lower value? That's the question on this page. See if you can answer that to each other. Why?
Sorry,
can you say the question again? Yeah. Why is moving towards the product type of business positioning lower perceived value in the client's eyes? Why is selling products and positioning as a product provider a lower perceived value? Why is that positioning lower perceived value?
If it's
I just want to grab Craig's place and snuggle up to Mark. He's a nice guy.
Yes.
When you've studied page 27, you then move to page 28 and try and link the two and see what the message is between 27 and 28.
Okay.